People say, well, there's been excess in there, prosperity. I'm rejecting the prosperity gospel. That's not rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth is say what the word says and just stick with that.
Amen.
Not because it's popular, not because it's unpopular, but just say what the word says. Amen?
Amen.
So that's going to be something we get into a little bit more. But for today, for this morning's session, let's finish up some of the things we were talking about regarding staying balanced. How many of you remember there's the prosperity promises? All through the Bible, we looked at some of them. There's many, many, many more. But there's also warnings.
Amen.
And we want to also look at the warnings and not be afraid because of the warnings to enter into abundance, but to go ahead and let them be a guardrail, so to speak, to keep us up on the road. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, but the warnings in the Bible surrounding this subject of biblical prosperity, they're actually there to keep us in prosperity.
Yes.
They're not there to keep us out of it. They're not there to make us afraid of this. How many of you are free from a spirit of fear? That's what God started out with in this meeting. We're not afraid to talk about it. We're not afraid to enter into it. We're not wondering what people think. We're not afraid to preach it and teach it. We just do it with a balanced approach.
That's right. Amen.
So we're going to look at this some more about balance today, because that's part of what this verse means when it says rightly dividing the word of truth. You can make the Bible say almost anything you want it to say by just taking things out of their setting, distorting what a word actually means. You understand what I'm talking about? And you can twist things, and the Bible warns us against doing that.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, this is 2 Corinthians 4:2. It talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:2, it says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
Amen.
But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have renounced. There's some things I know, some ministers, there's some things they need to renounce.
Yes, come on.
They need to renounce mishandling the word of God.
Amen.
They're handling it covetously.
All right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yes, sir. And it's hindering people's faith.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
People's faith is hindered whenever they lose confidence in the minister because he's twisting things.
That's right. Amen.
For his own gain, for his own lining of his own pockets.
Yes, sir.
He's got ulterior motives for the reason he's doing things.
Yes.
And people pick that up.
Yes, sir.
Notice he said, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Yes.
Their conscience lets them know something isn't right.
That's right.
And when their conscience picks that up, then what happens is they start losing the confidence in their minister and it affects the finances.
That's right.
They don't have confidence to give.
That's right.
Because it's all gone into his pocket, to line his pocket.
Yep.
Listen, the Bible teaches you and I should be paid and paid well.
Yes.
Amen. But yet, whenever it's presented in a way that is twisted, it causes people to back out of the message of prosperity.
Amen.
That's presented in a wholesome way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's presented in a pure way. The word of God, the truth of God's word is pure.
Yes.
It's not full of covetousness and manipulation.
Come on, sir. Amen.
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 And listen, people that have gotten into those things, they're sometimes maybe not wrong-hearted. Maybe they're just watching what other people do.
Yeah. Come on.
And that's all they know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
They might have actually a good heart. They might just don't understand the way God does things. But maybe the only thing they came up under was that kind of manipulation.
Yes.
Well, see, let's just be people that study the word for ourselves and find out what it actually says.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right?
Amen.
So we'll get into that more as we go. But when it comes to balance, let's talk a little bit more about the subject of balance. Balance does not mean we're in unbelief or we're we don't. Balance doesn't mean we're timid about the issue of finances. Because God's not giving us a spirit of fear or timidity. Amen. Balance is not some unbelief and some fear. In other words, some unbelief and fear and some faith. You'll never possess the promises of God with a timid spirit.
No, sir.
The only way you're going to enter into the true blessings of God is to have a spirit of faith.
Yes.
Second Corinthians 4:13 says, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We have the same spirit of faith, not a spirit of timidity.
Right.
We're not afraid of this subject.
No, sir.
The devil wants to make pastors and ministers afraid to talk about this subject.
Right. Yep.
Because he doesn't want the people hearing the good news.
Yes.
You need to defy that fear and get up in your pulpit and with a pure heart begin to share these truths.
Amen.
And share it renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty.
Amen.
Things that people are ashamed of because they know it's not right.
Amen.
And then you need to renounce handling the word of God deceitfully.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Isn't that what the Bible says?
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians 4:14-15 that in the last days there'll be winds of doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Winds of doctrine. There's no area that there's more wind than I hear more winds of doctrine going around than in the area of finances.
That's right.
Just a lot of stuff that doesn't amount to anything.
Right.
That whenever people say about finances, that doesn't amount to anything. You can't find it in the Bible.
Right.
It's just a wind of doctrine.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We'll get into some of them before this conference is over.
Yes.
So you're not wondering what I'm talking about.
Amen.
But let's just read that, what that says there in Ephesians. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
Ephesians 4. We henceforth be no more children. Verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. Be no children tossed to and fro.
Yeah.
That's what these winds of doctrine do. They toss people back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing right now. People say, I'm rejecting the prosperity gospel. That's a tossing wind that's throwing them to the other side of the ditch on the other side of the ground.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than you.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But he said, be no more children, tossed to and fro. Here in Ephesians 4:14.
Yeah.
Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
And sleight of men and cunning craftiness.
Yes.
Whereby they lie in wait to see. I know a lot of manipulating, self-serving preachers that are cunning and crafty and deceptive in order to get money out of people. You and I are to renounce that.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said in 2 Corinthians 4:2? Renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty.
Amen.
Renouncing not handling the word of God right.
Yes, sir.
And so he said, these men, they lie in wait to deceive. He said, but speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
See, love has the cheek's best interest at heart.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Yes.
We've got some spiritual con men in the ministry today, charlatans are slick at twisting the word and misleading the people. Amen.
Amen.
No Bible truth is this more a problem than the issue of prosperity and money.
Yeah.
Awfully quiet.
That's good words.
Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about in this conference the right handling of the Word of God, the right handling of something that's very precious to God and His heart for His people.
Yes, sir.
They are precious to him, and he wants them to do well financially.
Amen.
He wants them to be flat and wealthy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But this con artist stuff has got to stop.
Amen.
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 Now, unless you think it's just in Nigeria, we got it in the United States.
Yes.
I barely even watch Christian TV anymore because I'm tired of the manipulation.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm tired of the hype.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this. Like I said, I give you 7 minutes to give $70. Well, what if the Lord wants them to give $700?
All right, come on. Man.
Why are you telling them what to give?
Hey,
come on. Huh?
Yeah.
The Bible said that every man as he purposeth in his heart, so that in good. Don't make the promises of God for sale. You got to give $70 to get it. They're not for sale.
No, no.
None of the blessings of God are for sale.
No,
you got to give this much to get it. Every person that gives $1,000, you hear this in the United States. Every person that gives $1,000 right now, I'm going to pray for them and they'll be blessed. That's a manipulation.
Amen.
Why don't you pray for them if they don't give a dime?
All right.
Amen. You ever see Jesus do that? You give me $1,000, I'll pray for you and minister healing to you. You ever see Jesus do that? You ever see Paul do that? Now, there is a truth that when people sow a seed, it'll open up their heart to receive from God through your ministry.
Yes.
That is a truth. But we're not to use that truth to manipulate people to give a certain amount.
Amen.
Rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. Ministry under Brother Hagin's ministry. He was a part of that. And he mentioned some things about that particular revival and what brought it to an end. Because there were some things that doesn't mean healing stuff. But that particular revival.
Yes.
Healing is for anybody that believes God and takes his word and acts on his word in faith.
That's right.
Amen. He sent his word and healed you.
That's right.
But that particular revival of that subject stopped.
Right.
Brother Hagin said one of the reasons was because people got off and started using it as their purpose for holding these meetings was to raise money.
Yes.
He said, whenever healings, he said, I was personally in one of the meetings. He said, I saw it with my own eyes. He said, a particular minister, maybe call his name, people probably know about it. I mean, I'm not here to talk about people, but I'm talking about issues.
Yes. Amen.
He said, I was in this man's meeting. And he said, they brought out of the deaf home in that city where he was holding that meeting, they brought out of the deaf home, I forget how many, I think it was 18. I could be wrong about the number, but I think it was 18 deaf boys who were in a home for deaf children. They brought 18 deaf boys, and that minister ministered to every one of those 18, and all 18 of them, the ears were instantly open, and they were healed. And as soon as he got to the end of the line, he said the people were so high and so excited seeing those miracles. He said he instantly got up and used that high point to receive an offer. He said, now, everybody that wants to be blessed, come down here. Don't come down here unless you give $50. Now, back then, $50 was a whole lot more than 50 U.S. dollars is today.
Right.
This is the 1950s. That'd probably be like saying, give $1,000 to them. And he said people ran to the front to give $50 so that minister could pray for them. Brother Hagin said, he's sitting there, and the Lord spoke to him and said, you go tell him to judge himself when it comes to money. Now, this man at the time, I believe, was 34 years old. I could be wrong, was within a year or two, 34 years old. This minister that had just said, come down here and give, don't come down here unless you're going to give $50. Brother Hagin said, the Lord spoke to him and said, you go tell him to judge himself. And one of the things to judge himself in is receiving, is money, concerning money. He said, because he's going to die if he doesn't judge himself. The man didn't judge himself, and within 3 years, at the age of 37, died.
Why?
Because God's not going to put up with that. James 3:1 says, be not many masters. The word masters in the King James says, the King James says masters. That's the Greek word for teacher. Be not many teachers. Then he said, why? Knowing we're going to receive the greater judgment.
Yeah.
What does that mean? One translation says, we're going to be judged by a higher standard.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're going to be judged by a higher standard. Why? Because we influence people, and whichever direction ministers go, so goes the body of Christ. And the Lord has to deal with ministers who get off in order to keep the people from being deceived and misled.
Yes, amen.
That's it, sir.
Tell your neighbor I'm preaching all right.
Amen.
Amen. Be not many teachers, knowing we'll receive the greater condemnation. We'll be judged by a higher standard. If we're going to be judged by a higher standard, we're going to have to live by a higher standard.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'll tell you this. There's going to be an exposing of all the con artists.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good time to shout. Come out of your seat. Get your hanky and go like this.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 These things are coming down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. because it's abuse to the people of God.
Amen.
Well, praise God anyhow.
Amen.
So, when it comes to the Word of God, the Bible preaches and teaches abundance.
Yes, sir.
But it also teaches and preaches not against, it preaches against manipulation. You see it there? You see it? We read it in Ephesians. He said, every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness. See, that's crafty.
Yes.
Crafty. I'm going to get your money right now because you're all excited.
Come on.
That's what that man did. And he was judged for.
Amen.
The Bible says we can avoid judgment by judging ourselves. It says if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged.
That's right.
But we just judge ourselves.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. We're to love the sheep.
Yeah.
We tell them the truth. We tell them the truth about tithes and offerings. We tell them the truth about giving.
Yeah.
We tell them the truth that that's the will of God for them.
Yeah.
We're not ashamed to preach the truth.
Yes, sir.
But yet, right on the other hand, taking advantage of them through manipulation, that's wrong. We're to renounce that.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when it comes to balance, let's talk a little bit about this issue of balance. The balance means we strike a balance with the whole counsel of God's Word.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
We seek to be sober about the alerts. Be sober about the warnings to stay away from the dangers, because they are the strategy of the enemy to rob us of God's blessings. Isn't that right? Every warning in the Bible, and especially about biblical prosperity, not against prosperity, but about excesses, manipulation, you know what I mean? It's not there to hold us in bondage.
Yes.
It's there to keep us in the middle of the road.
Amen.
When we talk about balance, we're talking about rounding out the truths that we preach concerning the promises of God.
Amen.
With the rest of the counsel of God's Word.
Amen.
There's much more in the Bible than just finances.
Yes.
And money.
Amen.
I'll say this. People that say, that's all I'm supposed to preach is on finances. They're out of balance.
Yeah. Amen.
There's much more in the Bible than money.
Amen.
Amen.
That's very important.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When we talk about the Bible subject, we want to take the whole counsel of God's Word on it and keep balance and stay right in line with God's Word. That means to have to rightly divide the Word. We have to understand that balance ourselves.
Yes.
Amen. Are you out there?
Yes, sir.
We have to know what balance looks like.
Yes.
So let's say this. There's a man named back in the Pentecostal revival that went all over the world, started in 1906, and by Brother Seymour out there in Los Angeles, California. I don't know if you've ever read that story. The outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost came through a dear brother, Seymour. What was his first name? William Seymour. Thank you, sir. And that came, there was a powerful outpouring that went all over the world, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out again in more modern day.
Yes.
Thank God for it.
Amen.
If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, then you can today. Amen.
Amen.
But that spread all over the world, and when it got to Europe, God raised up some leaders over there as well. One of those leaders, Smith, you ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Or some of those men. One of those leaders was Howard Carter, and another one was named Donald G. Donald G. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was in his day, he was a very seasoned minister that many ministers went to help them get their doctrine straight.
Yes.
Just put it that way.
Amen.
The Bible tells us as ministers to preach sound doctrine.
Yes.
Not unsound things, yes. Sound things.
Sound.
And so Donald G. was somebody that they looked to in that day, in particularly in Europe, in England. He was a stabilizing factor in so many of the winds of doctrines that went through, because every era of the moves of God have winds that try to get in and blow things in different directions. So he was a very seasoned minister, and they all had a lot of respect for him. And they would bring things to him in order to help him bring light to what the scriptures say about things. And he said this statement, and I want to read it to you. It might sound interesting, but I want you to think about it, and I think it will help you. He said, we need extremism to get things moving. He said, but we need balanced teaching to keep things balanced. Listen, he said, we need extremism to get things moving, but balanced teaching to save us from self-destruction. Because of erroneous doctrine. He said, only wisdom from above can reveal the perfect synthesis. Now, I'm going to say that again. Because you're hearing me talk about balance, you might not understand everything I'm saying. I'm saying something that's very important right here.
Yes, sir.
To what Donald G. said. Are you ready? I'm going to read it again. Yes, we need extremism to get things moving. But we need balanced teaching to keep things balanced. What does he mean, extremism? In other words, sometimes, in fact, every generation, God raises up ministers, leaders, yes, in the body of Christ with a message,
yes,
in order to bring back into the body of Christ something that the body of Christ lost sight of.
Yes, sir.
You can go through William Seymour, go through history, and you can see this. Well, let's go all the way back to Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the church had lost sight of by grace through faith.
Right.
Not through works, not through joining the Catholic Church, so forth and so on. Amen?
Amen.
God brought the message of salvation, but through grace and faith,
yes,
to Martin Luther, and that started the Reformation.
Yes, sir.
And that was emphasized, and that went through the church in order to bring something to the forefront that had been lost.
That's right.
And it was an extreme emphasis at that time.
Yes.
And then we come to, there's different things, there's the Holiness movement stuff, but that's come to the Pentecostal revival. It was a season in the body of Christ where the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, and speaking with tongues, was emphasized. It was a major, major emphasis.
Yes.
And it needed to be because the church was out of balance and hadn't kept that truth,
yes,
with all the other truths.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Then there came the healing revival. And there was a strong emphasis on healing because the church had lost sight of by his stripes we were healed.
Yes.
Isn't that right? And that had to be emphasized, and there was a strong anointing and even an overemphasis on that subject for a while to get the church back up in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Do you know what a strong emphasis, a strong message that God brings to the body of Christ for a season is? It's usually somebody in one ditch pulling the body of Christ out of a ditch on the other side of the road.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. But the purpose of the extremism is to get the church not into this ditch, but get the church up in the middle of the road.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then when she gets up in the middle of the road, yeah, balance it out with teaching.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's what you're called to do as a minister.
Yes, sir.
Yes. When you see your people broke, struggling, you need to emphasize it strong. It's the will of God that you be rich.
Yes.
And what is rich? Have a full supply.
Yes, sir.
Full supply.
Amen.
And teach it real strong in order to get your people up out of the ditch.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
But keep it balanced,
yes,
with sound teaching.
Yes.
And that's what Donald G. is saying. I'll read it again. Listen to that. We need extremism to get things moving. In other words, we need extreme emphasis on things somehow,
yes,
to get things moving. Because it's not moving.
That's right.
There's no faith in the body of Christ for it. Nobody's preaching it. Nobody's believing for it. And therefore, it's not moving.
Right.
So God will send people into the body of Christ during a season to emphasize things real strong,
yes,
to get it moving.
Amen.
But the what happens so many times is it gets, the emphasis starts being taken, the body of Christ starts receiving that emphasis, and there's no balance then to keep it up in the middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen.
That's what Donald G. said. Let's read it again. Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
But we need extreme emphasis, in other words. He said extremism, and that's talking about extreme emphasis, to get things moving, but we need balanced teaching to keep things balanced. We need extremism to get things moving, but balanced teaching to save us from self-destruction.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, self-destruction? where people get into the extremes of excess doctrine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which causes the movement to be lost.
Yep.
That's
amen.
What happened in the universe.
Yes, sir.
It got to the point, Brother Hagin said, it got to the point that where preachers would not, some preachers, not all of them, but in the Hebrew Bible, some ministers wouldn't even pray for anybody to be healed unless that person gave an offering.
Wow. Wow.
Now, there are verses that show that those who honor with an offering
yeah.
can receive from God.
Yeah.
But to refuse to pray for people until they do,
on,
that's the extremist.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Tell your neighbor we got to keep it balanced. We need to teach our people to honor.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We need to teach our people that they should sow their seed into
yeah.
the work of the ministry. That ministry that's blessing them, they should sow their seed.
Amen.
And God will honor them.
Yes, sir. That's
Remember
right.
The widow woman in the Old Testament?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A couple of widows, actually.
Yep,
one
yep.
was a widow. One was married.
Yep.
That widow woman, she... Let's take the widow woman that was married.
Okay.
She received the prophet Elisha.
Yeah.
He came by, and he kept coming by. She said, I received this is the holy man of God.
Yeah. That's right.
And she said, let's build an addition. Basically, we'd say today, if you do all the studying, let's build an addition onto our house and make a room for him to stay. Let's put a bed in there and furnish the place.
That's right.
So every time he comes by, he can stay there. And because of the honor
yes.
of sowing that seed into his ministry, it brought that ministry into action,
mm-hmm.
and she ended up receiving a word from the Lord,
yep.
from the prophet, about having a baby,
having
when she had
baby.
Not been able to have a baby.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
But, and so it that honor for that office brought that office into manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And the same thing is true today.
Yes, sir.
But we're to let those people choose to do that,
choose.
Not refuse to pray for them until they
Ooh.
Give that offer.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Your
Amen.
Job is to pray for them, not to necessarily, you know, tell them, I won't pray for you unless you do.
Yeah. That's so good.
Well, that's
so
what I
good.
Like
so good.
All right, so we're gonna keep things balanced. Tell your neighbor, we're going to keep things balanced.
Keep things balanced.
Hallelujah. It is God's perfect will
yes.
that people give and sow into your life and ministry.
Yes,
in
sir.
Fact, if you're laboring in the word and doctrine, the Bible said, you're worthy of double honor.
Double honor. That's right.
And the people need to know
yep.
that those who teach the word, remember Galatians 6?
Mm-hmm.
Those who are taught the word
yep.
should communicate, that means give and sow seed to
yeah.
him that teaches in all good things.
All good
the
things.
The Bible teaches that.
That's right. Amen.
I said the Bible teaches that.
Yes,
and
sir.
You should teach that to your people.
Yeah.
But not with an air of covetousness.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to, if you don't, I'm not going to pray for it.
Right. Right. Amen.
That's the excess.
Yes, sir.
That's the extreme.
Amen.
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 Let that between them and God.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, let that between them and God.
Yes, sir.
Don't
Amen.
You interject yourself into that.
Amen.
So I'm going to pray for it.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So good. Amen.
All right. So that's an important statement that Donald G. made. Let's pick up another side of this issue of balance. Part of what it means to preach and teach a balanced message of prosperity is to preach that there's other sides of things besides giving
yes.
that affect what they can receive from God.
Yes.
Such as, you ever read the Bible? The Bible talks about walking in love.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned, there's a, the Bible said, to love our brother, walk in love.
Yep.
Remember the Bible said, for example, over in 1 Peter 3, talking about husbands and wives, husbands and wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that's your prayers be
hindered. That's right.
He's talking about the
yep.
love walk.
Yes.
Affecting our prayers being,
right.
being answered.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Or not necessarily the God, it doesn't affect God, it doesn't keep God from answering them, it keeps us from receiving
them. That's right. Yes,
see the best way to say it.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, the Bible talks about 1 John chapter number 2. It talks about if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart. He knows.
Yep, yep. That's
and
right.
And he said, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Whatever we ask, we receive.
Yeah, amen.
In other words, whenever our heart's bothering us because we're not walking in love,
yeah,
that's the context there in 1 John.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
sir.
And then he said that's going to hinder our ability to reach up and receive.
It'll hinder.
That's
right. That's
right.
Yes, sir.
Your conscience is bothering you.
Yep,
that's
yep.
All. Or the person's conscience is bothering
yes,
right.
sir.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's sound.
That's sound.
So we've got to preach more than just soul.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I said, we've got to preach more than just sowing. Amen. We've got to teach you to preach sowing and tithing and giving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because the Bible teaches that.
Amen.
And we're obligated by the call of the ministry, we're obligated to teach and preach the word.
The word. Amen.
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 And we owe no apology for it.
Nope. No, sir. That's right.
We're not ashamed to preach and teach the word.
No, amen. Sir.
We're not afraid of what people are going to think.
Nope.
That's right.
Uh-uh.
Now, if they can tell our motive is wrong, then we need to judge ourselves on that.
That's right.
If our motive is right, we judge ourselves, and then they go and judge us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's being them to God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So there's another side of things beyond just giving an offering. How about being obedient, willing and obedient to God's plan?
Amen.
Are you out there? How about being led by the Holy Spirit?
Hallelujah.
How about taking authority, or teaching them to take authority over the enemy who's holding these things
together? Yes. Amen.
It is the enemy who opposes God's people
yes.
by entering into the blessings of God.
Yes, amen. Sir. Amen.
They need to learn to walk in their authority and make their claim of faith on what belongs to them and tell the enemy to take his hands off.
That's right. Amen.
That's what I'm saying about there's another side to just give it.
Mm-hmm.
Than just give it. Now, let's talk about something else you need to preach and teach in order to have a balanced message of prosperity.
Yes, sir.
You need to teach and preach that God will bless what they put their hand to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
In other words, today, if you listen to some ministers teach and preach prosperity, the idea is given,
mm-hmm.
but then maybe they don't actually say it, but the idea is given that to prosper, all you got to do is give me money.
All right. Come on now.
That's a lie.
Big lie.
Yep.
You got to put your hand to something.
That's right. Amen.
And the Bible talks a lot about not being lazy.
Yep. Amen. Come on.
If they give you an offering and they're lazy and don't put their hand to anything, they're going to be broke next time you see them.
Exactly right. Yes, sir.
You need to tell them that.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't tell them it's just you give your money into my anointed pocket right now.
Oh.
And you'll be blessed in spite of your laziness. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
You got to have the whole council of God.
All of it. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Tell them if they don't work, they don't eat.
That's right.
Amen. That's in the word.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
That's good for you.
Come on.
Some of you look like you're going to shoot daggers for me here. They're not going to be blessed in spite of themselves, in spite of all the laziness and so forth, just because they gave money to you.
That's right. Come on, sir.
They're not going to be blessed if they're not walking in love.
That's right.
Sir. Amen.
Sir.
Amen.
Amen. Good word.
A lot of things in the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you can't teach all of, you can't teach all of that in one service.
Right.
You're going to have to tell them. You can't just come to one of my services and get blessed, and from then on you're going to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir.
Right.
Amen. You're going to have to take them. This is the job of a pastor.
Yeah.
Feed them every Sunday, every church service.
Yeah.
Feed them over and over again, and give them the whole counsel of God's word, and tell them keep coming because I can't say everything in one service.
Yeah. Amen.
In order to prosper, you're going to have to do more than just give me money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
So, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Bible talks about, and if you read, we'll get on to some of these things later in the conference, but the Bible talks about, in Proverbs especially, a whole lot about being diligent.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Seest thou a man diligent?
Yes. Yep.
And then he said, that man will be blessed.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
There's a tendency that people who give themselves diligently to do something, They tend to do better than people who just kind of lazy.
That's the truth.
You got to tell them that.
Yeah.
Especially today because people don't want to work. They heard give an offering to that anointed preacher who has an anointed pocket or an anointed wallet.
Come on.
Boy, you put your money in there, you're going to be a multimillionaire by the end of the week. That's the impression they get.
Right.
But see, that's out of balance.
Come on, amen. Amen. That's so good. That's so good. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know I'm preaching all
right.
Hallelujah.
That's so good.
Amen.
Amen.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If it's stepping on your toes, good.
Amen.
We'll pray for your toes before we go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to talk about these other issues because these other issues in the Word of God are going to affect their sowing of this. Your people are going to have to realize that you can't teach everything in one service. They're going to have to keep on coming.
Yeah.
And you teach them that that's the truth.
Yeah.
teach them that they can't go to some anointed prophet who's blowing through town and have him lay hands on them because they gave a big offering to him, and they can't just receive all that God has for them by that.
That's right. Amen. Keep it coming.
You pastors need to balance that stuff.
Yes. Amen.
And teach them.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about another thing that balance means.
Amen.
It means to teach an equal amount of what is available with what you have to do to receive it.
Amen. Oh, glory to God.
I want you to listen to a passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter number 15. And several verses, and I'm going to read this. This is in Deuteronomy chapter number 15. And we're going to read verses 4, 7, and 11. Deuteronomy 15, 4, 7, and 11. First of all, this is the New Literal Translation. I don't know if you've ever read the New Literal Translation. It says in Deuteronomy 15, verse 4, "There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he is giving you as a special possession." That's God telling us what his will is right there.
Yeah.
He said there should be no poor among you.
No poor. That's right.
There should be no poor among you.
That's right. Come on.
All right, that's verse 4. Now, Deuteronomy 15:7, this is God speaking. He said, "If there are any poor Israelites in your towns, when you arrive in the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them." Notice, first of all, verse number 4, he said there should be no poor among you.
Should be.
Why? Because the Lord's blessing.
Yeah.
Because of the blessing of the blessing of Abraham.
Yeah. Amen. Remember,
Proverbs 10:22 talks about it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich.
Adds no sorrow to it.
And he adds no sorrow with it.
That's right. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's the blessing.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
How can you throw that out and say, "I'm going to do away with the prosperity"? I don't believe anyone in the prosperity gospel. The blessing, the good news of the blessing is part of the gospel.
Yeah, amen.
We understand it's not the only thing. The first thing is get saved. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
We understand that.
Yes.
But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, all right?
Amen.
All right. So, first of all, verse 4, there should be no poor among you because of the blessing. Verse 7, if there are any poor Israelites in your towns, don't be tight-fisted, he said. Then verse 11, Deuteronomy 15:11, New Living Translation, there will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need.
Mm-hmm.
What is God doing? He said there should be no poor. He said, then the second thing, he said, if there are.
If there are, yeah.
Then he said in verse 11, there always will be.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Get that?
Yes, sir.
There should be no poor.
Yeah.
Because of the blessing. And then he said, if there are, share with them.
Help yeah.
Them. Give them the poor.
That's right.
Which is something else people are preaching against nowadays. Can't give to the poor, you got to give to the preacher because the preacher represents God and the poor don't have anointing on the prosper, so can't give to the poor. That's a lie. Now, I'll prove it to you whenever we get there. You might want to come just to hear that.
Yes, sir.
That's going around. That's a doctrine going around.
Wow.
All right. Well, now you're really curious about it, but we'll get there. Number one, there should be no poor.
Uh-huh.
Number two, if there are, share with them, give to them. Uh-huh. Then number three, there always will be.
Uh-huh.
What is God talking about? Why is he saying there shouldn't be?
Right.
Share with them if they are. And there always will be. Is he confused?
No, sir.
No. What he's saying is, his perfect will is not automatic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's his will and things shouldn't be the way they are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's not going to be the way it is.
Right.
Right. Amen.
Not everybody's going to rise up and enter into what God has for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know that as well as I do.
Yep.
Take salvation.
Yep.
There shouldn't be anybody on the planet today that's not saved.
Yes,
right. That's right.
But there is.
Yes, there is.
Why? Not because it's not God's will for them to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because God hasn't made provision for them to be saved?
No, sir.
No. He's made provision, but why are people not saved? Because not everybody lays hold and possesses what God says there.
That's right.
Amen. Not everybody enters into it.
That's amen. Right. That's right.
Same thing with prosperity.
Yeah. Amen.
So what am I saying? Remember I said balance. It means a number of things. One of the things we're talking about right now is balance means you teach the equal amount of what is available and what they have to do to receive.
Amen.
Because if you teach only what's available, some won't enter into it. You got to teach them how to enter into what they've got to do.
That's so
and it's
good.
Not just give into my anointing. Come on,
amen.
Amen. They're going to have to put their hand to something.
Yes,
they're
going
to have to learn to be diligent. Yes, they're going to have to begin to believe God and sow their seed, give tithes and offerings.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Walk in love.
Yes, sir.
Use wisdom.
Yes.
Amen. There's one.
Yes.
Some people are always broke because they don't use wisdom. They
come
always
on,
spend
Pastor.
More than they make.
Come on. Keep it coming.
The pastor's going to have to teach them this.
Yeah.
They think, oh, I just go down to some anointed prophet's ministry, I put an offering in his anointed pocket, and then I'll always be blessed. Not if you don't. Not if you're dumb.
Right.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. And you always spend more than you make.
Right. Right.
Amen.
That's so good.
You got to use wisdom.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Amen. God gave us brains.
Woo-hoo. Ring-a-dingy. Amen.
We need to use our minds.
That's right. Yes, sir.
People want to go spend, just buy everything they see, and they spend all their money. I know.
Right.
I had a young man in my church. He first came in to the church. He would get a paycheck. Let's see. He'd get paid on Friday, and usually by Saturday morning, if not Saturday morning, by Saturday night, the paycheck was all gone. He'd go out and just spend it. Woo-hoo, got money. Go spend it. Then he couldn't pay his bills.
All right.
Well, people like that, they can't just give me a money and an offering in my anointed pocket and live free from poverty.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You know it's true.
Yes. Yep. Amen.
Let's just be honest about these things rather than mislead the people.
Amen. That's right.
You got to teach the whole counsel of God's word.
That's right.
So in these three verses, you're still with me in Deuteronomy?
Yes, sir.
In these three verses, God moves from the ideal, in other words, his highest and best will.
That's good.
He moves from that, which is that there should be no poor among his people.
Right.
Then moves all the way to the realistic, which is there will always be poor among you, even among God's people.
Yeah.
Is that because it's his will for some to be rich and not others?
No,
it's because they don't do what is necessary sometimes in order to get it.
Yes, sir, that's right.
That's why you need to preach a balanced message of what is available and what's necessary to get it.
Amen.
Amen. He moves from his perfect will to accommodations because of his ceaseless love for his people, for those who he knows won't reach for his best.
Yes.
See, you got to get out of your comfort zone and start reaching for it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Some people won't renew their minds. They won't walk by faith or be obedient to God.
Yeah.
And that'll all hinder their prosperity.
That's right.
And you need to teach them to walk by faith, be obedient to God, be consecrated, renew your mind.
Amen.
How many of you know Paul said, or John said over there in 3 John 2, he said, you'll prosper as your soul prospers.
Yes, sir.
The soul prospering happens as a person's mind is renewed to abundance.
That's right.
If they keep thinking lack thoughts, they'll never be rich.
That's right.
Exactly right.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
That's right. Amen.
You got to teach people to renew their mind.
Yes.
Start learning to think rich thoughts and abundance thoughts.
Amen.
Don't always. The first question was not always how much does it cost.
Right? Amen.
Whenever you say the Lord told me to start an orphanage, or the Lord told me you're the pastor, and the Lord tells you to do something, if the people's first thought is, well, how much is that going to cost? That's because of poverty thinking.
Amen.
Poverty thinking always thinks first about the money rather than what is the will of the Lord.
What's the will of the Lord? Amen.
Prosperity thinking is not thinking about money, it's thinking about the plan.
Yes. Amen.
What did God say do?
Amen.
No matter what the cost, there's a supply for what
God says. No matter what the cost. That's right.
If it's his will, it's his bill.
Woo! Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But he knows that some people won't renew their mind. They're always the first thought is, oh, how much is that going to cost? Why do we have to spend all our money on that?
Come on,
unrenewed mind. Well, that poverty thinking is going to hinder them.
Yes.
That's going to affect their own prosperity.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got to teach them to renew their mind.
Yes.
Learn to think abundance thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Praise
now,
God.
Just because something should be so doesn't automatically make it so.
Yes.
Right.
You know, God said here, there should be none among you that are poor. So it's not automatic. You know, people preach sovereignty as if God's controlling everything. He's not. He's leaving a lot up to us.
Yes, yes.
Remember, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose.
You choose.
Amen. Are you still here? Your seat, you can only receive as much as your bottom can endure. Is that right?
Still here, Pastor.
We're getting ready to close in a few minutes.
Still here. Come on.
There should be, just because something should be so doesn't make it automatic.
Yeah.
That's good preaching.
Amen.
Yep.
You need to tell your people that. For example, in the natural, sometimes people can have prosperity all around them and still be poor.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We see it in the United States all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of poor minded people in the United States.
Oh, yeah. More than here.
They think poverty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They think rent. They don't think ownership.
Yep. Yep.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
They think
yes,
small.
Yes.
They don't think big, folks.
Yep. Yep.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
And so there's opportunity a lot of times, but people are blinded because their thinking is wrong.
Right.
The same thing's true spiritually. People have the wrong, they've heard wrong things preached for a long time, and they have the idea that if something's God's will, just sort of automatic, then it happens. Here God's saying, it shouldn't be this way, but it will be because they're not going to lay hold of it.
Yeah, I can only hold of it.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
He starts out with the potential every man has at the beginning when he said, there should be none among you that are poor.
Right.
He starts out with the potential every man has in Christ.
That's right.
And because of the covenant that he's made with them.
Hallelujah.
And moves to where he knows some people are and apparently always will be.
Yep, yep.
Regardless of the fact that it should be different.
Should be different. Yep.
Now, the parable of the sower says the same thing if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said there's four kinds of ground, and some won't produce anything.
Right.
Yeah.
The seed is sown.
It's sown. That's
right. It was sown on the wayside ground.
Yep.
It was sown on the stony soil. It was sown where the thorns were.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But it didn't produce anything.
Produce nothing. That's
the good ground.
Hallelujah.
Produced some.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And even the good ground, some didn't produce full potential.
Uh-huh.
Remember 30, 60, 100.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So what that's saying is, not everybody's going to rise up to their potential.
Ooh, that's so good, Pastor. Amen. Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean you preach that to them every time. There's some of you that are never going to get it. But that doesn't edify them.
That's right.
But just you as a minister, you have to know that.
Yeah, amen.
But always encourage them to reach for it.
Yes, amen.
I've got people, I've been pastoring for 17
Hallelujah.
Years. I got people that are sitting there and heard what I'm preaching about abundance and prosperity for 17 years. And if they're doing any better today financially, I don't know it.
Mm.
Because they just sit there and then they just think on, well, I got this government payment every month and I live off this, I live off that. And they never reach for anything more than what they have.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus told me ahead of time that would be so.
Yep.
The poor you'll have with you always.
You'll have with you always. Yes, sir.
And he encourages us to help.
That's right. Yep. Amen.
Yes, neighbor, that's good preaching.
That's good preaching.
So what you have to do is preach how to get out of that.
Yeah.
Every now and then,
Amen.
I don't do it in the flesh, because you do it in the flesh, and God will get onto you.
Yeah, yeah.
But every now and then, they'll get a boldness on me to preach to shake some of those people loose.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I almost give them a Holy Ghost spanking, if you know
Come
what
on.
I'm talking about.
Come on. Amen.
It's not in the flesh, because you can do things in the flesh and be angry and
sir.
Get in trouble with God.
Yes, sir.
We're not talking about being angry with people.
No,
yeah,
that's right.
We're not talking about abusing people.
That's right.
But the Holy Ghost gets on me and just with a fire, about 6 of them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And they get loose. Some of them get loose for about a week, and then they get back into their set.
Right. Come on, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I teach my people, learn not to just be workers for somebody else, but to own the company.
Amen.
Businesses. Start businesses.
Yes. Amen. Yes, sir.
I shaking some of them loose.
Praise God.
And they're prospering greatly.
Yep, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
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 In fact, right here's Justin. He came with me because God gave him several businesses, and he's financing his own way to come over here and help us.
Amen.
Because we shook him loose.
Praise God. Amen.
Oh, God.
Amen.
The word of God will do it for you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so excited.
Hallelujah.
So things shouldn't be the way they are, but God knows they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because God hasn't made provision for people.
That's right.
But the problem lays on man's side, on the receiving end. You know, a lot of people's prayers, they're oh God, do this, oh God, do that. They're working on the sending end. But there's no problem on the sending end. The problem's on the receiving
end. That's right.
Go to working on that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we've got to step up to that.
Yes, sir.
Some people, the reason they won't, because he said, it should be none among you that are poor.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people,
yeah.
The reason God can't take them into things is because they won't go.
They won't go.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They won't go.
Yep.
Anybody pastoring in here know what I'm talking about? They won't go with it.
Yep.
They won't go into abundance.
Yep.
The Lord told me a while back, he said, you're going to have to leave some of these people behind and stop trying to bring them on with you.
That's a good
one. He said, start preaching to the ones that are going with you.
That's right. Amen.
The rest of them sit there and hear. They can get in on anytime.
Yeah. Anytime.
See, that's between them and God. That's not between me and them. That's between
exactly
them and God.
Right. That's right. Amen.
I'm just there to preach to them what their potential is.
Potential.
And
yes,
keep
sir.
Encouraging them what their potential is.
That's right. Amen.
I know some of them won't, but I keep to acting like they can.
Yep.
Because
amen.
They can.
Yes, they can. That's right.
Amen. But I just know that some people God can't move any further in their lives because they won't go there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Jesus came to Jerusalem. He looked over the city and said, oh, how I've longed to gather thee together and gather their chicks, but you won't go.
You
won't come to me.
That's right. Amen.
In other words, he said, I longed to do it, but I couldn't.
Yes.
That's right.
I couldn't because you won't.
You won't. That's right.
That's what he was saying.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus in his own hometown in Mark 6. You ever read that verse?
Uh-huh.
In his own hometown, he could there do no mighty work.
There. That's right.
It didn't say he wouldn't. He said he could. Mark 6. What is that? Verse 6, 5, 6, 7, down through there. He could there do no mighty work. Say he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed. He didn't say he wouldn't. He didn't say, I don't want to for you. He tried. But they wouldn't, so he couldn't.
Yep.
There's more to prosperity than the sending end.
Right.
There's the receiving end.
Amen.
And people say, well, I'm willing to receive. Not if they're not willing to walk in the light of the word, because that's how you receive.
That's right.
Yes.
Be a doer of the word.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we heard the word preached, we're given an opportunity to profit. Hebrews 4, 1 through 6 talks about Israel's unbelief. And it said the word that was preached to them about Canaan's land didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word, notice what that verse is telling us. The word is given to profit us. Did you get that? The word is given. It will profit you in every area of life. It'll profit your marriage. It'll profit your children. It'll profit every area. It'll profit your finances. It'll profit your physical body. It'll keep you strong physically.
Yes, sir.
It'll profit your mind.
Yes, sir.
It'll profit your marriage, everything. It'll prosper everything. God doesn't want just financial prosperity. He wants prosperity for the whole man.
Amen.
Every area. And true prosperity doesn't rob from one area to give it to you in another area.
That's right. Amen.
In other words, you don't have to lose your marriage or your kids to going after money.
Amen.
That's not God's best. God's best is to profit the whole man.
The whole man. That's right.
You can have a good marriage and kids that turn out right as well as have all the money you need.
That's right. Amen.
You don't have to go out and serve money and be away from home. Therefore, your children turn out wrong.
Wow. Right. Amen.
But he said there, this word was given, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
That's
when you hear the word, you're being given an opportunity to profit.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The amount of faith you mix with it, and how much you do what the word says, determine the amount of profit that comes to it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I decided to profit on a high level.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I like what God told Bishop Yedipo.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that way back in the beginning, he said, there's room for you or there's a place for you at the top.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen.
So I said, that's just for him. No. Deuteronomy, we read it. Deuteronomy 28.
Yep.
The Lord will set thee on high.
Yeah.
High.
He didn't just say one person. He said, all that will keep my commandments.
Yeah. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And Bishop Yenipo went to the top.
Yeah. Amen.
How about you? What are you going to do?
Go to the top. Amen. That's right. Amen.
The Lord wants to set us all on high.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Be far above.
Far above.
Above only and not beneath.
That's right. Amen. Praise God.
The potential's there.
Yes, sir.
I said the potential's there.
That's right.
It's a matter of how much we're willing to renew our mind.
That's right.
Be a doer of the word.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's up to us.
Yes,
no
sir.
Faith, no profit.
Yep.
Little faith, little profit.
Prophet.
Great faith, great profit.
Hallelujah.
Not just finances, but including finances.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Praise
you got to get radical in your thinking.
Yes? Yep. Amen.
You got to start washing your mind in the water of the Word.
Yes.
It'll do it for you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God says it'll do it for all of us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So, we got to take God's Word to God's people and preach it for their entire life.
Yep.
So that they know their potential.
That's right.
They need to know their potential.
Yes, sir.
Edify them with the word. Build them up. Encourage them. Don't condemn them. Don't beat them down. Encourage them. Lift them up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And tell them you've got the ability in you to be greatly blessed.
Amen.
Now, that's one thing balance means. Are you still able to take just a little bit more here?
Yes, sir.
I'm almost done. Now, balance also means. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 1 real quick. I got to wrap this up. Galatians chapter number 1 says that in verse number 11, Paul's mentioning how he received the gospel. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You study his life, you know that he was caught up to the third heaven. 1 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 11 talks about it, and he received the revelation of the gospel. Jesus visited with him and taught him.
Right.
He didn't learn it from Peter. He didn't learn it from John or anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But he got it directly from Jesus. Now, go to Galatians 2, verses 1 and 2. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation. In other words, I went up with this revelation. And I communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, talking about John, Peter, James, down there in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
I talked to them privately about what I was preaching all over the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What does that mean concerning what we're talking about? Yeah. In order to stay balanced, you and I must be willing to submit the revelation we're getting to other ministers.
That's so good.
That are seasoned.
Yes, sir.
And that are, mature.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
When Paul received revelation of the gospel, he got it directly from Jesus.
Directly. That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
But, you see, Jesus had walked with John, Peter, James,
he had
walked the earth and taught those men
in
the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And so when Paul got it directly from Jesus in a vision, he went and visited with other ministers who God had also taught the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen.
So Jesus himself walked in the earth.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
I said, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And he went up there privately to discuss what Jesus had revealed to him in a vision.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
What he's saying is, when we receive what we consider revelation from the Word, if it's worth anything, it can stand the scrutiny of the revelation other ministers have who are seasoned in the Word.
That's so good.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Today we have people that are out of balance because they get a revelation, but they don't submit it to anybody who's already seasoned in ministry.
Amen.
And so they're out in left field, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
They're way off base.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got this revelation. Listen, if it's the Holy Ghost and it's in line with the Word, it can stand the scrutiny of other scriptures.
Other scriptures.
And revelation that other men who are seasoned.
That's
have.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
Based on the
scriptures. Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't just go out and start preaching some new revelation. Submit it to people who you trust.
Yeah, that's right.
Who are sound in doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not worth much if you can't. Come on. Problem of the day is we've got ministers who get into pride and aren't willing to submit their doctrine to other proven and more seasoned ministers in the body of Christ.
Now, there you go.
To do that. Well, I know I got this from God. Well, listen, you're not the only one that has the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is talking to others.
Yeah.
And if it's really, truly a revelation from God's Word, other people who have the Spirit and who know God's Word, they better than you or I.
Yes.
Can help speak into it.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And we should be willing to do that.
Yes, sir.
But it's a problem today. Paul didn't think that way, did he?
Nope.
Paul was the leading apostle of his day.
Now.
And yet he still submitted the revelations he got to others. In the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Whoa. He wanted others to judge his revelation.
Yes, sir.
And you read it, he said they didn't add anything to me. Jesus said in the vision exactly what he taught them. They all said, yeah, that's exactly what he taught us.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
Never Peter had the vision about the Gentiles getting saved.
Yes, sir.
Paul had that vision when Jesus caught him up.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you can't stand the scrutiny of the word, it's not worth much.
Not worth much.
You better not preach it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You see, you're not the only one that has the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
If it came by the Spirit of God, others will know it, and the same Spirit that's in you is in them.
That's in them. That's right.
They got the same Spirit you have. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 This message, what we've got to understand is this message of abundance is still in the body of Christ in its infancy.
Yes. Yes.
We are preaching this message against centuries of teaching that being poor is humble. And we shouldn't want any of this old world's goods.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Centuries of teaching behind us are misleading people. We got people in the body of Christ, certain segments of the body of Christ, taking vows of poverty. That's stupidity.
Yes. That's right.
That's error.
Yes.
That's not the word of God.
Not the word. Not the word.
People think they have scriptures to prove it. I prove them wrong. They just want to take the time for it. So we're back up against centuries of this kind of wrong teaching. Any doctrine that preaches and teaches God wants his people poor is a false doctrine.
Amen. Amen.
The truth of God's will to prosper his people is just getting established in the church world as a whole, and it's still progressing.
Yeah.
But God is breaking this truth open to us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Not just one of us, but many of us.
Many. That's right.
Get
praise
that.
God.
He's not just breaking these truths open to one of us. He's breaking it open to all of us.
Amen.
That are beginning to lay hold of.
Yes, sir.
One man has one piece of this truth. Another man has another piece of this truth. And we need all to continue to receive from one another until this message matures in the body of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
The maturity of it brings balance.
Yes.
Sometimes the error is not so much in what a man sees from God's word, that necessarily what he sees from the word is wrong. It's just that it's not being balanced with what another brother sees and God is talking to him about.
Yeah, amen. Good word.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
We need one another.
Yes, we do.
As we receive what God's saying to all of us together, the picture becomes clearer and clearer and clearer.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And God's raising up this message in this generation, but it's yet in its infancy.
Yep,
and since it's in its infancy, we've got excesses of things that are not necessarily correct.
Yep.
Amen. But let's keep receiving from one another and get this whole thing balanced out.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 A lot of things are true, all right, but when you overemphasize one thing at the detriment of other truths in God's word, then you become out of balance.
That's so good. So good.
Listen, if the Bible emphasizes it, we should emphasize it.
Yes, sir.
If the Bible doesn't talk as much about it, let's not talk as much about it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
There are some things we just need to exhort ministers to say the right way.
The right way.
You're saying things the wrong way.
The right way.
Like people say, I'm throwing out, doing away, I don't believe anymore in the prosperity gospel. Wait. Say it the right way.
The right way. Yes.
Don't say I'm doing away with the prosperity gospel. Say I'm doing away with the excesses.
That's right.
I've been manipulating people.
Yes.
I tell them I'm giving to this anointed pot.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Amen.
You're confusing people.
That's it.
Amen. Say things the way they should be said.
Uh-huh.
For example, someone said, when a person dies, sometimes people say, when a person dies, somebody will say, well, God took him.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you're confusing people by your terms.
That's exactly right.
You don't have record of anywhere in the Bible that it says when somebody died, God took
them. No way.
There was only two people in the Bible that said God took
them.
Yes. One was Elijah.
Yep.
You know who the other was?
Enoch. Yep.
You notice both when they both went, he took them
alive. That's right. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
God doesn't take people whenever they die. He receives them.
Them. Praise God.
God's not out taking people's lives.
No, sir.
I heard a story of a man who worked in a factory one time that had these huge electrical panels with very high voltage electricity going through. And they told everybody, stand on these rubber mats when you grab that lever to pull the electricity off.
Okay.
Stand on these mats. Because if there's any water, you can get electrocuted.
Okay.
A guy one day walked up there, and there was some water down there. He grabbed that thing and pulled it, and that electricity went into him, and it killed him, electrocuted him. They had his funeral, and somebody said, God took it. And the preacher said, I notice God doesn't take near as many of them whenever they stand on the mat.
Yeah, come on. Amen. Preach it.
God didn't take them.
No, sir. No, sir.
Well, he died, so he received them.
He received them. That's right. No, sir. No, sir.
We got to get our terms right.
Terms right. That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Let's stop saying, I don't know if anybody here said it, but we shouldn't say, I'm rejecting the prosperity gospel.
Right. Amen.
Well, just say, I don't believe the Bible anymore if you don't believe in prosperity.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Keep
it coming. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Every Bible truth has an area of extreme application.
Ooh,
In other words, people get into extremism. You can do it with water baptism.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes people say you're not saved unless you're baptized by our method. You got to be baptized by us. Or use a certain form.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. The middle of the road is, there's a middle of the road that identification with Christ is what baptism is about.
Yeah, amen.
Regarding healing, there's extremism. One extreme and one ditch is that it's wrong to use medicine.
Yeah, come on.
Brother Hayes said back in the healing revival, there were even preachers who said, I don't use shaving cream because I don't want to use any medication. He said some of them didn't use deodorant because I don't want to use any medication. Well, dear Lord, stay away from me.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Amen.
I mean, that's what I can pray for.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. That's excess.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with using shaving cream to shave your face. It protects your face.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I'm just going to believe God. Well, dummy.
Yeah, dummy.
Coming all red.
Yeah, come on. That's good.
Praise the Lord. The truth is, healing's for us today, and there are natural things we can do to help her.
Amen.
There's a ditch on both sides of that, isn't it? Same thing with every Bible truth. Every Bible truth has their excesses, and the same thing's true about prosperity.
That's right.
Some say money's evil, Christians should avoid money, and then there's some on the other side of the error of this to say, you know, everybody who's got money is a sign of godliness. That's a lie, too.
Yep.
The Bible said there's sordid methods of getting gain.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about the prosperity of the wicked.
Yeah, right.
That's not God's power working.
Not God's power. No, sir.
It's just their conniving ways, their deceptive ways.
Amen.
Amen. So we've got to go down the middle of the road.
Yes, sir.
Say the middle of the road.
Middle of the road.
I don't want to get in the ditch on either side.
No, sir.
But sometimes we've got to really emphasize the subject to get people out of the ditch on the other side.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's just do that if we need to, but then balance it out with sound teaching.
Amen.
How do you integrate the truth? Into the whole counsel of God's word. You answer things by teaching the whole counsel of God's word on a subject. Don't just teach one area.
That's right.
Just give it. That's a valid Bible truth. Then balance it out.
Balance it out.
With the whole truth of God's word.
Amen.
The Bible gives a lot of emphasis to something, emphasize it.
Yep.
The Bible says very little about it, don't say much about it.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
How many of you want your church to be a safe place for your people?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That means you're going to have to take the whole counsel of God's word.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't just teach one side.
Yes, sir.
And listen, people that you have in your pulpit, ministers, guest ministers you have in your pulpit, if you're a pastor, guest ministers you have in your pulpit, if they have a covetous spirit on them, that covetousness is going to get in your people.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever stands in this pulpit is what's going to get on the people.
Yes, sir.
Going to get on the people. Don't have people in the negative man for money.
Amen.
I can't come unless you give me a certain amount of money.
You can't go.
That's covetousness.
Uh huh.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
That's a hireling.
Yes, sir.
And that spirit's going to get on your people.
Yeah.
You ought to all of a sudden disinvite them right there. As soon as they
get a demand,
you say, sorry, I just changed my mind. I'm not having you in my church.
Yes, amen.
Why? Because you're responsible to protect your
protecting
people.
Protecting the people. Spirit. That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well,
so
we
good.
Got that part.
So
you
good.
You getting anything out of the word this morning?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not scared of this subject.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
We're not scared of this subject.
No, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God's not giving us a spirit of fear.
No, sir.
You need to say that when it comes to money or preaching on money in your church.
God's
I don't have a spirit of fear.
Spirit of
I'm
fear.
Not going to be backed out of this subject because there's excess of fanaticism.
No, sir. No,
I'm just going to go down the middle of the road.
Right down the middle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Stand up. Glory. Prosperity will not put people in bondage.
That's right.
The Bible said, you'll know the truth.
The truth.
We make them free.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise God.
And so we're not afraid because it has set them free. Father, we thank you for these precious, precious ministers this morning. They are the ones you chose. You called them and you chose them. And they responded to you, said yes to the call. And they come into the plan, this phase of the plan for their lives, in service unto you. And they love your work. They love your kingdom. And they want to see it grow. They want to see people reach for you. I thank you for it, Father. Lord God, I thank you for these truths that helps give them the spirit of faith they need to boldly walk into all that you have for them. I thank you, Father God, as they lay hold of what belongs to them in this area. And don't live in fear, but boldly walk in a spirit of faith. I thank you for increasing them more and more.
Amen.
We bless them.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, for taking good care of them financially.
Amen.
And making them a great blessing to this nation and to their generation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.